World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome back to the William Hill Daily World Cup Podcast. We'll be looking ahead to Monday's games, three of them to go out on Monday. It's Germany against Portugal, Iran take on Nigeria and Ghana play USA. My name is Mark Walton. I'll be joined in the studio by Ben Bramley, and we'll also be hearing from Lee Phelps and Robbie Savage over in Brazil. Plenty to go out. And how are you, Ben?
Yeah, good shape, thank you. I'm just considering or contemplating how many games I've missed in the World Cup so far. It's just one so far.
Yeah.
The Ivory Coast versus Japan game, which was, of course, the 2 o'clock Saturday night, Sunday morning salvo. So a decent strike rate. What about yourself? Have you enjoyed the games?
Yes, they've all been very entertaining. We've seen plenty of goals this time. I think only one game failed to register over 2.5 goals. Is it time to start backing that blind, Ben?
Well, Mexico-Cameroon, wasn't it? The only one that had one goal. But
two disallowed goals as well.
The punters are well on top, aren't they? Even if we look at last night's games, you know, you've got Benzema, first goal scorer, Messi, first goal scorer. Yeah. You've got Switzerland, who were a goal down but were well backed, winning as well. So apart from Saturday night, where Uruguay were turned over and there was a huge punt on England, wasn't there, backed into about 6-4 and Italy went off around about the 5-2 mark. The punters have certainly had the better of the exchanges, haven't they, in the World Cup so far. And yeah, there have been goals galore. It's been the highest average goals per game, I think, since 1958 so far, I've been reading. And when you look at some of the sides and some of the attacking talent that's on display tonight, you wouldn't think that's going to change anytime soon, would you?
No, not a single draw yet either, which is interesting.
Well, again, if you look at the percentages of draws normally, you normally get around about 5% of bets that are struck on the draw. There was a bigger proportion of those in the England-Italy match. I think a lot of people thought that Manaus would make that quite a tepid affair, but it was still all action that game as well, wasn't it? So clearly, with there being positive outcomes in all the games, the punters are having it right off at the moment. There's no doubt about that, is there?
No doubt at all.
With the exception of myself, I hasten
to add. I suppose that's down to the fact that all the star names and big strikers going to the World Cup have turned it on in the first game. If you look at yesterday, you had Benzema scoring a brace, you had Messi scoring a goal. Earlier on in the tournament, we've seen all the Neymar and the like, you know, the big names have turned up so far.
Yeah, no, I agree with that entirely. I think the most impressive performance of the World Cup so far came from Benzema yesterday. He's been a player that I've been pretty critical of in the past. I think he lets Ronaldo take all the glory at Real Madrid, which probably works in the context of the game with him being an absolutely superlative player, but Benzema yesterday, particularly the thing that struck me was towards the end, he had a chance to get his hat-trick and he played a really cute ball inside. It didn't come off, but it tells me two things: that his head's in a good place, and that the French team spirit is better than has sometimes been in the past, you know, because French players in days of yore could have had a shot there and gone for the hat-trick, but they were playing for each other. You could tell how they celebrated their goals as well, you know. They are a unit, and given that they've got so many good players, particularly in the centre of the park there, they're going to be a handful if Benzema keeps up this form. So a team that I was quite quick to dismiss pre-tournament, but I think they're right in the mix now, Mark. Have they been chopped on the back of that? I know they were around about the 25 to 1 mark, weren't they, before that game. But I think a lot of the results, because they've gone as expected, Argentina not shortened, Brazil not really shortened, but France made an impression on me.
Yeah, France are in the betting at 16-1 now. So
you can see that, can't you? The two teams that have made the most striking impression, France and the Dutch, unquestionably, who have been halved in price, haven't they? But I see this French team going on and doing a little bit of something. Important that they won that first game as well, so that they avoid Argentina in the second round in all likelihood. So they've got a chance of running pretty deep in this.
Okay. Let's just reflect on Argentina as well, because they won their first game. They weren't scintillating in the first half, but they got the job done. And I just want to get your thoughts on Lionel Messi, because there's a whole host of stories around him saying that he has to have a good World Cup to be up there with Pelé and Maradona. And for me, I think he's overly criticised now. In the first half, he was a little bit bogged down and closed down pretty quickly. But as soon as Higuain came on, he had that bit of space. He dictated the game, really. And they're going to play with Higuain throughout the tournament. It was just because he wasn't fully fit for this first game. And any other player in any other team, you'd have said he was the standout on the park, but because it's Messi, he gets a bit of criticism.
No, I tend to agree with that. I think if you saw the interviews, which were fascinating pre-match, he doesn't hold the same iconic status in amongst the Argentinian fans as Diego Maradona. It's that simple, isn't it? You know, I know he's improved for Argentina over the last few years, the last year in particular, where he scored a lot of goals. But before that, he hadn't brought the form for the Argentinian team that we see week in, week out for Barcelona. So I think it is a relatively just criticism. I think he would need to have an exceptional World Cup to be put up with those guys. He's a fantastic player, isn't he? He was largely anonymous, as you say, in the first half, until that tactical change. Higuain came on, Aguero. So it gave them more strings to their attacking bow, and then he showed his prowess. And of course, he can score goals of that quality. He's done it throughout his career. But he needs a really big tournament to cement his legend. But I don't think he'll ever be able to usurp Diego Maradona's place in Argentinian hearts, that's for sure.
Still,
even if they won the World Cup, he would not be revered in the same way as Diego Maradona. It's just a matter of fact. Well, the very fact that obviously he had the hand of God against England 4 years after the Falklands War and what have you. He cannot possibly, no matter what he did, he could score three hat tricks all the way in, and he would never be revered like Maradona.
Yeah, on that piece on the BBC before the game, there was a quote on there that said if Messi won two World Cups, he still wouldn't be more revered than Maradona. So
I think that's absolutely true, and we've seen it, haven't we, for Argentina, that he hasn't had the same impact. I know it's easy to be critical, isn't it, of the best player in the world. I think if you go back 3 or 4 years, he was the best player that I'd ever seen, no question. I think he didn't have a great season last year, did he? I think Ronaldo personally has overtaken him as the most effective player in the world. That's a very personal view, although I still think Messi is the best player when he is right, which he hasn't been for the last season, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but I think you're taking me on here, aren't you?
Well, I'm just going to say that I think he's a little bit of a victim of his own success, because he did score goals at the back end. People say that he didn't turn up for Barcelona and he was playing, waiting for the World Cup. He still scored in his last 12 games, including a couple of hat-tricks. I'm not saying
he didn't turn up. I'm not casting that his way at all. All that I'm saying is that he was winning games single-handedly. I mean, you look at the first Champions League where they beat Manchester United, the second Champions League where they beat Man United at Wembley after beating Rome in the first one. He was just so good. It was untrue. And he did, yeah. Perhaps that is victim of his own success, because he set such lofty standards. But I don't know. I think we've already pointed out he will never have that absolute place in Argentinian hearts, I don't think. Having said that, if they were to beat Brazil in a final on Brazilian soil and he was the orchestrator, maybe I'm talking nonsense. But, you know, that's to be proven, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got to do that yet as well.
But the tournament's been superb so far. I mean, we talk about it pre-tournament, everybody's looking forward to it, but I think after the first 11 games last year, there have been 19 goals, and after the first 11 games this time, there's been 30-odd, you know? So it just goes to tell you how different the games have been. They've been a lot more attacking. The refereeing's been more lenient than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Some of those Honduran tackles last night were brutal, weren't they?
Yeah. I thought about calling the police a couple of times.
But they were savage.
Yeah.
They were savage. Some of them really were worthy. I mean, the guy that went in with his right foot and tried to rake right the way down the front of the leg of one of the French players, that was obscene.
There were some horrific tackles in there. We've talked about the big players turning up so far. One of the biggest players in the world, most people would say he's the best player in the world at the moment, is Cristiano Ronaldo. He's in action tonight against Germany as Portugal take on Germany in the first kickoff. That's at 5 p.m. What we'll do is we'll get the thoughts of Robbie Savage. He's in the company of Lee Phelps over in Brazil, and then we'll get Ben's thoughts on Germany against Portugal.
Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't know if he's fully fit. Is he the key to this game?
Of course, and it's, you know, are Germany going to play with a centre forward, or are they going to go with a, you know, the midfielders with nobody in attack? Are they going to play Schürrle? But what Germans do, and like the Italians, in competitions, they know how to win games. It's as simple as that. I think if Ronaldo's not fit, Germany win the game. I think he's that important to Portugal, like Gareth Bale is to Wales. I wouldn't say it's a one-man team, but you know, Ronaldo's so important. If Ronaldo plays, Portugal don't get beat. I think both teams will score. If Ronaldo doesn't play, I'll go with a German win. You know, centre forward options for Portugal aren't great. If you're thinking about the way Portugal got to the World Cup with that Ronaldo solo performance against Sweden, when it was Ibra against Ronaldo, Ronaldo was sensational. So I'm going to go, if Ronaldo plays, Portugal to score, and Germany to score in a draw.
Okay, a draw. If Ronaldo plays, then is the thoughts of Robbie Savage. You sound a little bit breezy on that beach. I hope it's not too cold for them, Ben.
No, no, they were enjoying it, weren't they? I've seen a video there, and I've seen Lee Phelps eyeing up a little bit that's going on around him as well, right, while Robbie was talking during that preview. And why wouldn't you?
Wandering eyes.
Yeah, very much so. He purses his lips at one point as a dusky maiden goes past. You'll have to have a look at that video. Check that out online, by the way.
Yep.
They're certainly worth looking at. But Robbie's telling you there, isn't he, how important Ronaldo is to this team, and it's framing his entire thinking in terms of the match here. And I tend to agree with him. I think the most important point that he made there was that the Portuguese number nine is akin to the Brazilian number nine, really. They're there to make space for Ronaldo so he can weave his magic, because Postiga isn't much of a centre forward in my eyes. Neither is Hugo Almeida. I'm not a big fan of his. I'd be playing Eder there personally. I think he's more dangerous than the both of them. But Ronaldo's fitness is absolutely pivotal to this game. He's said to be 99.99% fit, but of course there will be a lot of conjecture about that. And if he plays, he is so much of a threat, isn't he? You just always expect something to come from him. Do you remember that playoff game against Sweden where he scored two goals absolutely from nowhere? So, you know, he's proven he can do it at all levels now. And the intriguing thing again about Germany playing this false nine, potentially Mario Götze. What's your view on that? Because again, they're adopting the old Spanish style, aren't they?
Yeah, it's because, for me, well, I think everyone understands, it's because they've got such a wealth of talent in midfield. And they don't really have a true standout striker anymore. So,
but you say that, but they've got a guy that's, is he the record holder for World Cups in the shape of Miroslav Klose? He's Germany's record scorer. And is he right behind Ronaldo, I think, in terms of World Cup goals? His international record reads 69 in 132 caps, so better than one in two. I know he's coming to the end of his career, in essence, but you know, he's a guy that scores in big games, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's the only striker that's been taken, and it's unlikely that he'll get a sniff unless he comes off the bench. But you've got a lot of talented players in behind him, haven't you? Thomas Muller, Lukas Podolski, all capable of getting a goal. And I'd like to see Andre Schürrle get a game, because I think he's a very, very good player, coming off the back of scoring some exceptional goals for Chelsea, and always performs well in the national shirt as well. So let's see how it lines up. I would tend to be the same opinion as Robbie, that if Cristiano Ronaldo plays, that then they will be a huge threat and will definitely get a goal themselves. But I can see this maybe being the first draw of the tournament, akin to Robbie's prediction. So okay, I think we're both going for a 1-1 draw here, assuming that Ronaldo does take to the field.
Okay, 19-20 for Germany to win the match. The draw 12-5, Portugal 3-1. A 1-1 draw is priced up at 13-2.
That's a big price for a draw, you know. I think a lot of these draws have been pushed out now on the premise that we haven't seen too many. If this was the first game of the tournament, for example, a 1-1 draw wouldn't have been any bigger than 11-2, 6-1 at a push. I know it's fine margins, but 13-2 for a 1-1 draw between the two big nations in this group strikes me as being a reasonable bet. Remembering that Ghana and USA are the other teams in the group, I think that would be acceptable for both teams, personally.
Okay, just a couple of headline offers to mention before we move on to the next game. Thomas Muller to score and Germany to win is 11-4. And the one that would interest me is Cristiano Ronaldo to score and Portugal to win, because so far in this tournament we've seen the big players scoring and their teams then winning. So 4-1 about a Ronaldo goal, which is most likely goal scorer for Portugal if they win. I could see.
Yeah,
value
that's true.
That.
I mean, what price did you say the Portuguese win was outright, though?
Portuguese win outright is 3-1. So you're only
3-1. I wouldn't be inclined to back that, just by virtue of the fact that if you want to be with Portugal, I would rather back it as a 3-1 shot all in than 4-1 with Ronaldo scoring the goal. I know he's by far the most likely scorer, but to me, I'm not getting enough comfort in that in terms of the price. If you're keen on Portugal and you think Ronaldo's going to have a big game, I would steer you towards just backing them to win outright at 3-1, personally.
Okay. Moving on to the second game today then, Iran take on Nigeria. This is an 8 p.m. kickoff and the betting looks like this. Iran 100-30, the draw 23-10 and Nigeria 10-11. We'll get your thoughts in just a moment, Ben, but let's see what Robbie Savage thinks in this game.
Yeah, well, they got all done winging Nigeria as well, so Moses.
Moses,
so they've got a good attacking
Emenike
options. Emenike, so I think they'll beat Iran. And I think they'll beat him well. I'll go 2-0, but a comfortable 2-0 for Nigeria against, you know, poor Iran side who've done great to get to the World Cup.
Yes, so Robbie's quite confident there by the sounds of things. He thinks that Nigeria will win pretty comfortably, Ben. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't think right. goes. I think the first player that he listed is a player that I know particularly well, Peter Odemwingie. He's just come back into the fold, actually. He fell out with the Nigerian FA, and there was a clamour for his return, but I'm not sure he will start tonight. Robbie did make mention of Emmanuel Emeniki, didn't he? He's got a decent record, scored 9 goals and 11 competitive starts for Nigeria, and didn't get 4 in 5 in the African Nations Cup last year, so he could be on a good little roll with that one, proving he can play tournament football, and notched 12 in 23 for Fenerbahce in the Turkish League, and with Victor Moses, with another player that Robbie mentioned, and Ahmed Musa, who's a good winger too, helping to feed him. That could be an interesting little angle in for Nigeria, but I'm not convinced by them at all as a team. And they got that late equaliser, didn't they, against Scotland in a recent friendly. I just wasn't hugely impressed with them. Scotland pretty much bossed that game from what I saw. And you probably need that little bit more here, even against an Iranian side that ordinarily do play pretty low-grade affairs. You know, if you look back at their last few games, in their qualifiers, they were beating the likes of Qatar, Lebanon, the Korea Republic. But when they're playing teams that you would think are more akin to Nigeria, I don't mean in the location, I mean in terms of their standard. Montenegro, it was a 0-0 draw. Belarus, it was a 0-0 draw. I think they're going to try and keep it pretty tight, these Iranians. And we've already gone 1-1 in the first game, haven't we? Mm. I'm tempted to put up another 1-1. So get some draws on the board after 11 games without. And they've got a couple of danger players themselves, the Iranians, haven't they?
Yes. Guchanajad is their main attacking threat. He's also subject to the headline offer, by the way, if anybody thinks Iran will win, 13-2 if you pair those two eventualities up. But we've seen him in English football, haven't we?
We have, yeah. He scored a goal for Charlton this season from how many appearances. He's been around the block a bit, this guy, actually. When I look at his career profile, he's 26. He started off in the Eredivisie with Heerenveen. Didn't make an impression there. Went to Go Ahead Eagles, scored 4 goals there. 10 goals, actually. He had 2 seasons with the Go Ahead Eagles. Played for Cambo, where he had a decent season in 2010-11. 13 in 24 appearances. They're pretty good stats, aren't they? Then moved to Belgium to play at Sint-Truiden. Went on to play at Standard Liège. So he has played at a decent standard of Belgian football, and then found himself at Charlton. So he has been around the block, really, hasn't he, for a 26-year-old player. And he did score in the friendly against Trinidad and Tobago as well. So it's not impossible, that headline offer, is it, by any means? And I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the score sheet. There's another player that we know well, of course, is Ashkan De Jager, who in a relegated Fulham team was one of the better players throughout the season. He was a guy that had prompted and done some pretty good stuff for Fulham this year. And he's easily Iran's most creative, incisive attacker. So I might just go for the 1-1 draw again here, Mark, at the risk of boring the listeners with my sit-on-the-fence predictions. Still, odds are odds, aren't they? So what odds are you giving me on a 1-1 draw? About sixes?
6-1, yeah.
I'm going to take 6-1, yep. 1-1 draw. I'm going to go for a goal from Ahmed Musa for the Nigerians, and I'm going to say that Reza Guchanajad is going to cancel that out for the Iranians. So 1-1 draw for me, Mark.
Okay, plenty to play about with there then. The other headline offer that I didn't mention, Emmanuel Emenike to score Nigeria to win, is 11-4. Well, they're 10-11 to win the match. The popular consensus with Robbie and the people over in Brazil that we've been listening to is that Nigeria will win this match.
Yeah.
And he's probably their most likely scorer. So 11-4 is quite a nice boost on that.
Well, if you compare that to the one that we were talking about before, where Portugal were 3-1, but yeah, Portugal and Ronaldo were 4-1. Now, I'm not trying to compare Emenike and Ronaldo by any means. But what I am trying to compare is the difference in price between 10-11 and 11-4. And if you think that this is Nigeria's prime number 9, and you want to get with Nigeria and get an inflated price on them, you've got their most likely goal scorer on your side at 11-4, so I wouldn't put anybody off that personally.
Okay, but you're going for the draw.
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Yeah, Ahmed Musa on the score sheet. Reza Guchanajad, I got it right first time, but not so good second time. But I'm not trying it again. And maybe even John Obi Mikel, plays more advanced, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Than he does for Chelsea, where he just plays the sitting role. For Nigeria, he actually gets forward and does a little bit. Although that record of 4 goals in 59 international games slightly puts me off. There's more chance of him scoring for Nigeria than there is Chelsea, put it that way.
Yes, there is. Ghana against USA then next. This is the final game to look forward to today. It's at 11 p.m. Ghana 7-5, the draw 21-10, USA also 21-10. Before we get your thoughts, Ben, let's once again go back to Brazil and hear from Robbie Savage on the beach.
I think that's so important now. Ghana, USA, whoever can win that game is, you know, could finish in that second place. I think Ghana are strong. I covered them, and you know, I watched them against Egypt when they absolutely battered Egypt to get to the World Cup. They got some good players, Essien, Montari, so they got some very, very good players. Have they got enough to beat USA, who have left London, Donovan? I think they have. I think Ghana will win this game. I think we'll see attacking play. Defensively, I don't think both teams are great. So both teams to score with a Ghana win.
Okay, both teams to score and a Ghana win. I would be inclined to agree with the Ghana win part. Not necessarily so sure about the both teams to score, Ben, but what are your thoughts here?
Well, that means you're wrong, and Robbie Savage is wrong, because I don't fancy Ghana at all in this game. They've got a good side on paper, haven't they? Look at those stats there for Asamoah Gyan, 39 in 79 internationals. Really impressive stats. They've got the IUs on the flanks, haven't they? Jordan and Andre. Jordan scored a hat-trick in that friendly against South Korea, which is a very impressive form line, you have to say. And Kevin Prince-Boateng's a good player. But Michael Essien, Robbie was talking him up there. This is a guy that peaked 5 years ago, and not a huge fan of his. Jonathan Mensah played a while at Sunderland, Disney, and was revered for a while by the Sunderland fans. But I think that the USA can get at this Ghanaian side. If you look at the USA, you know, they're absolutely racked with experience. Matt Besler's got 17 caps. He's the guy with the least amount of caps in the team. You've got the likes of Clint Dempsey with 105, Altidore 70, Michael Bradley 86, Tim Howard 100, who's an excellent keeper. Jeff Cameron, who's a player that I know very well, normally plays right back for Stoke, but takes on the centre-back mantle for USA. I think they're a better football team, USA, from what I've seen. They beat Turkey in a friendly. They beat Nigeria in a friendly. I just think they've just got more goal threat, personally. I take on board what Robbie would say about Asamoah Gyan, but Jozy Altidore, clearly when he pulls on a Sunderland shirt, isn't revered by their fans. But when he plays for the USA, that movement that got him the move to Sunderland is more prevalent, and he's a handful. I think the USA will win this game, and this is the bet of the day.
Okay.
You've dumbfounded, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm stunned. 21-10 for USA to win.
Yep, this is one of my bets of the first round, Matt. The USA to beat Ghana, bet of the first round. This is cosy. We've gone for one all draws in the first two games. They're going to round out a 2-0 win today, I think. Think about that.
14-1 for 2-0.
Yep, let's give that a whirl, I think. Who else have they got here? Michael Bradley's a good player, isn't he? Clint Dempsey, he had a spell back at Fulham. That didn't really work out, did it? He had a really good first spell at Fulham. Came back for a few loan games this season. Wasn't able to help them avoid relegation. But they've got some decent players, you know. Plenty of experience. I know Ghana will be boosted by that verdict over South Korea, but I think the USA are a better team, a better football team.
Okay.
Collectively.
Fair enough.
No, tell me why I'm wrong, please, because I can see you grimacing at my statements here.
Grimacing. But Sully Montari and Michael Essien, whilst you say that Essien's best days are behind him, he's still going to sit in that and dictate that midfield. You've got then Kevin Prince-Boateng, who's a talented player going forward.
He is a good player. He's the best player in their team for sure, yeah.
Asamoah Gyan knows how to find the back of the net, which is a terrible cliche, but he does know how to score goals. Then you got both Ayu's on either wing with bags of pace, and I just think they can cause problems going forward.
Yeah, perhaps they will. You've rightly outlined that those Ayu's are confident, particularly Jordan there, on the back of those three goals against South Korea. No, they're dangerous. There's no question there is an element of danger there, but I'm not a huge fan. If you look at the African Nations Cup, for example, and the general standard of African football, what have we seen Cameroon do in this World Cup so far? They lost to Mexico. They were lucky not to lose by more goals. But I don't think, when you watch the African Nations Cup, Mark, the overall standard in it, I think it's a confederation that is in decline in terms of their overall performance.
Well, Ivory Coast beat Japan, didn't they? 2-1.
Yep, that kind of kicks my argument out the park, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Cameroon, as you mentioned, lost to Mexico. Have we seen any of this?
No, Algeria are yet to play, aren't they? Algeria play in a day or two's time, don't they? But no, look, I've got a strong view here. USA are a team that I wanted to be with when this tournament started. They're a very well organised side. Jurgen Klinsmann has them very well set up. Clint Dempsey's in good form. He'd scored 8 goals in 9 MLS outings for Seattle before heading off to Brazil, so he's in good nick. Klinsmann trusts Altidore. Trust, that's a key word here, and he does get the best out of him. He's got pace and power. He's not the sort of guy that has done it in the Premier League, but it doesn't matter. This is different. It's a team that he excels for. He's confident, and I think he'll make a bit of an impact here, and he's going to be one of the scorers tonight, is Jose Altidore.
Okay.
2-0.
2-0.
You're not going to dissuade me?
No, no. I'm actually trying to find a win cast price for USA to win and Altidore to score, because I think it could be could be quite good. But there's that many markets on site now, Ben. I'm not even sure where we've put it anymore. USA to win and Jose Altidore to score is 9-2.
Yeah.
2-0 with Altidore to score, 60-1.
Here we go. That's score the one, first. Isn't it? 60-1. Let's go for something a bit more speculative. Been relatively cautious with a couple of one-all draws in the other games. But no, I'll be stopping up late for this one, certainly. USA 2, Ghana 0. Altidore first goal, 60-1, £5, £305 potential return, and I'll be happy enough.
Okay, good stuff. Could be a very rewarding evening at the World Cup then. Thank you very much, Ben. Should be another good day, and we'll look forward to doing it again tomorrow.
No, we've got three corkers tonight, Mark, so really looking forward to it. I hope the punters out there make some more cash.
So on to day five of the World Cup then. Plenty of action to come from Brazil. The thoughts of Ben Bramley and Robbie Savage there. Good luck if you're having a bet this evening. Enjoy the games, and we'll be back tomorrow on the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.